Okay. Hi, my name's Nathan Sterrett. I work for the University of Akron. I'm one of the Microsoft Systems Management Server administrators. This evolved out of a desktop support role. My job was fixing PCs, laptops, desktops for the faculty and staff. I didn't handle too many of the labs. SMS is more of an office environment solution than a lab solution. The kind of productivity it enables is for end users. Give me a second. As always, a fan of procrastination. Yeah. Okay. This is what we're going to talk about. The SMS core features, which are inventory, software distribution, and remote control. Yes, I use Skype too. Some of the plugins that are available for SMS, feature packs, and other useful add-ons, like the OS deployment pack, like the ability to handle Microsoft updates, software metering. Some suggestions for planning, setting up an SMS environment. Implementation issues and recommendations. I'm the co-administrator for an SMS site with 3,300 clients. You run into a lot of issues. And I'm going to try and demo some SMS stuff if I can get a VPN connection to the office to work. And questions from you guys. Okay. These are the main features that SMS provides. Hardware inventory, software inventory, remote control. Hardware inventory uses WMI to interface with the PC to provide all kinds of information. It records system information like you have a hard drive, you don't have a hard drive, you have a floppy drive, all that regular stuff. Records the add remove programs list, so you can get a snapshot of all the stuff that's officially installed on the machine. Serial number if it's from BIOS, what OS it's running, the service pack it's running, local printers if you turn that feature on, what services are running on the machine. So you can get, with the hardware inventory, you can get a lot of information about the machine. This is a snapshot of the hardware inventory results on one machine. This is the service listing of everything that's running on the machine, and you can see all the different categories that SMS returns, from add remove programs to what processor it has, USB devices that are attached and things like that. The hardware inventory functionality is extensible by modifying MOF files, which talks to the WMI namespace. So you can turn on and off inventory features. If you don't care what printers are inventoried, you can turn that off. If you don't want to know how big the hard drive is, you can turn that off. WMI is extensible enough that you can add most stuff, anything that you can program it to do, you can add in through this structure to have SMS inventory as part of the hardware inventory process. Software inventory. Software inventory uses a fixed database that's updated for Microsoft periodically. So it queries a large database of all the software Microsoft thinks that anybody might care about and uses that to determine what it thinks the software is actually present on the machine. So outside of the add remove program lists, it looks for the Adobe PageMaker executable, and if it has version 4 of that, it reports it as having version 4 of that executable installed. You can add to that template with custom templates. You can also report on specific files. That's one of the things that's very useful for determining updates. There's plenty of software out there that won't self-update, and the only way to determine whether or not it has been updated to the current version and all the security patches are applied is that a certain version of a certain DLL is there, to the point of ridiculousness. We actually, in our environment, inventory the beer.dll file to determine if a part of the Adobe CS suite is up to date. Because if it's that version or below of the beer.dll file, you need an update. Those are all, you add whatever you want to add. Any file that's on the machine, you can tell it to record, and then it'll report back as part of the software inventory process. Remote control. SMS includes remote control functionality, but it is relatively outdated technology. It installs a device driver that mirrors the display and mirrors the keyboard. This has been known to cause problems with things like Tablet Edition, of where there's a lot of keyboard mirroring already loaded and video devices already loaded for the pop-up keyboard and things like that. They don't recommend using it with modern machines. Use remote desktop, use remote assistance. They provide the same level of functionality and are configured through group policies. Something that comes with the OS, so it's already there on every machine. In our environment, we use VNC just because we got the VB script set up to automatically launch it, so the users can just click on an icon and it'll launch VNC. We can distribute it with SMS, so it's installed on all the machines the way we want it to be installed. And VNC works good. I'm sure we've all used VNC. Probably the most important or most useful part of SMS is software distribution. The reason you need an enterprise management system is asset tracking. That's the hardware and software inventory part, and so you don't have to walk around, but to do away with the sneaker net. You don't have to walk around with CDs, so you don't have to give CDs to people. I work in an educational environment, and the only way to stay in license compliance is to not give people a CD and not give people the license code. SMS doesn't rely on MSIs, but it's Microsoft. MSIs are their technology for doing installer packages. It is very easy to distribute software with SMS if it's an MSI. If it's not an MSI, you're looking at developing a custom install solution and then just using SMS to execute a command. SMS is going to execute a command, but you're going to have to do the work to make it silent or locate it somewhere where it can access all the pieces or figure out how to get it to register itself automatically. SMS supports multiple locations for content, so you have different sites. You can have servers there that serve the content locally, so the machines will talk to that server as opposed to going back to your central organization. And also for redundancy and data pushing, doing large pushes, you need to have more than one server to handle as many clients as we do. Got a query-based client selection. So we deploy packages based on all kinds of different things, based on operating system, based on the type of machine. All different computers comes with different licenses for DVDs and CD burning software. So the D600, the Dell laptops, we got to deploy one DVD burning software to them. The IBM ThinkPads, we got to deploy RecordNow. All computers can be in different collections, so unlike Active Directory schema, where a computer can only be in one OU, a computer can be in the collection that gets SMS updates for CS2 and in a completely different collection for getting Office 2003. Makes it easy to organize your structure so it makes sense. SMS will retry advertisements, so you can deploy something and forget about it. It will keep trying it until it works or until it fails for an error code. So we have 1,000 plus laptops. They're always being turned on and off in the middle of our automated installs. It's important that whatever enterprise management product we use is able to pick up where it left off. SMS is able to do that. There's flexible scheduling so that you can tell it to install whatever package you're distributing right now. You can tell it to install it next Tuesday. You can tell it to install every Tuesday, etc. And the packages can be used differently for different clients. So you can run the Office installation with Publisher for certain clients, and then you can run it with a different command line using the same package, so you don't need to replicate your content without Publisher. There's a SMS packaging system has a system where you have the data content, and then you have the command lines that you run against that content. So for MSI exec commands that you run that do different things. When you create a package based on an MSI, it automatically creates uninstall programs, install programs, silent install programs, unattended install programs, the user-only install programs, so that it can be installed different ways based on what your needs are. SMS distributes content with SMB shares or with the BITS technology, like Windows Updates uses. Okay, how does it work? In order to distribute software, you have packages, which are the data. So you have an Office package that you create with Microsoft Office. And then you create a program that runs a command line against that package, and then you advertise that to a client or a collection. Create a new package. Essentially, you browse to your source somewhere on the network, an MSI file, a install shield, executable, whatever you're using, and then you tell it what you want to do with it. Either SMS will create a compressed copy of that source, or it will always refer to the same location. You always refer to the same location is useful so that you want to run a VB script. Everybody runs the same VB script, and you want to log it to a public share somewhere. So that you're just, it doesn't need to, you don't want it to be one-time only content. The compressed source is useful for Office. We're distributing an Office. Make a compressed copy of this. We don't want a bunch of copies of this running around. It's the same for everybody. It's not going to get updated. Point it to where you want it to go, and then you complete it. That creates the package pretty easy. Then you create a, using an MSI, you get a bunch of programs. You can see them in the background up here. These are the standard programs created when you add an MSI package. Unattended system, uninstall and install, an attended per user so that you can install it so that it only shows up for a given user as opposed to for everybody on the system. Then you can go through and you can create a new program, and what this will do is name it something like UA unattended reinstall. What this does is reinstall the product as opposed to install it. So it's using the MSI exec switches to automatically reinstall Media Player in this case. Name it, put comments, use the command line, whatever the command line is you're going to want to send to it, and then how you want to run it. You can tell it to do something after, like to reboot or shut down. You also can use options to run another program first, to run it every time, or every time a given user. If it's a per user or at login, you can have it run every time somebody logs in, or just once for that computer, and then that computer is good because it's just a device driver update, for example, and you only need it once. You don't need it every time somebody logs in. You can tell it to run only when a user's logged in, only when a user's not logged in. You can restrict what operating systems and platforms it'll go to, and you can tell it how much disk space. So that means that if the machine doesn't have that much disk space, it will fail out with an error code and not install it. You can tell it how long it should wait before it automatically fails it for taking too long. This is how you create an advertisement. That's actually sending a package in a program to an individual collect machine or group of machines. Pretty much the same thing. You name it, you tell it what package you want it to use, what program, and what computers you want to send it to. And then when. Mandatory, or it can be voluntary, where it just shows up in an icon in the user's control panel, and they can run it whenever they want, or if they decide they want it. We distribute a lot of optional software like that. Productivity applications, or licensed software that the user requests. We don't want to install it silently. we want them to know that they got what they paid for, because their department paid for a license for Creative Suite for them. They get a little icon that pops up, and then they can choose to install Creative Suite. Or they can pay for it and never install it, which plenty of people do because they don't pay any attention to their computer. You can tell it to reoccur, all kinds of different options about how to schedule it. This is how clients can interact with advertisements. In their control panel, they have a Run Advertised Programs icon that opens up to this listing that reports on the advertisements that have been advertised to the machine and their status. So they can either never have been run, and then they don't, you know, it's empty, successfully run, and then it tells you when it was last successfully run, or it can fail. And users just highlight whatever one of these they want to install and click the Run button. It goes off and runs. Okay. Some of the bonus features that you get with SMS outside the core. Microsoft provides an OS deployment pack. It's not something I've used. We use Ghost. That works fine for us, but it's a feature that's available. The update feature pack, which is kind of like WSUS, which is the window update services, except it's way more lots more options about when updates go out. With SUS and WSUS, you approved them and they just went out. There was no, these clients get them, these clients don't get them, they get them today, reboots have to happen. This allows a lot of flexibility. On the other hand, it's a lot more work to maintain because you got to tell it all the different options that you want it to do. So we used it for a while, and then we just moved back to SUS because people just need the updates for Microsoft. They have to get them all and every month, another 10. There's also third-party plugins that are available for SMS. One of the ones that we're experimenting with is VMX Management Extensions for Unix. It allows you to run OpenWebM in a client on Unix machines, and then it'll talk to your SMS machine. So you can update Mac OS 10, Solaris, AIX, Linux boxes right to SMS and send packages to it from SMS and receive hardware and software inventory. So it's a way to only have to support one enterprise management system in a diverse environment. There's also, Dell provides a BIOS firmware and driver inventory and deployment tool. So if you got in our server room, we got a whole truckload of Dell servers. We run that on our server SMS site, and it goes out automatically and checks with Dell against their drivers list, and whenever Dell releases a new driver, it's like the update feature pack for Dell servers. It doesn't work for Dell clients, just Dell servers, but it's still pretty slick for getting all that stuff on a whole room full of Dell servers. SMS does software metering. It's pretty basic software metering, basically. How many people are running this executable, whichever one you select, at the same time. And SMS also has a health monitoring tool. What this does is compile statistics from a bunch of different places across the SMS database to give you a good idea of if your clients are healthy. Are they doing their hardware inventories? Are they doing their software inventories? Are they regularly checking in with the site server like they're supposed to be? It's a useful way to, I mean, management tools only work on some percentage of clients. You always have failure, and this helps you identify which machines you need to go visit and figure out why they're not working. Okay, I just spent the last week doing a review of this product. The bottom line is it's expensive. 400 machines at the educational price, $15,000. So it's a lot of money, but it provides pretty slick integration. Uses an open source piece of software called OpenWebM, developed by Novell and a couple other companies. And it really does allow all enterprise management systems to be managed, enterprise computers managed from the same system. You get more tabs in the package creation for all the different, you get an RPM tab, you get an OS X package tab, you get a targzip package tab, you get whatever the AIX package management system is tab, you get four or five more tabs, and you can just import those kind of packages in there and deploy them exactly the same way you deploy any other SMS package. It's pretty slick, it's just kind of expensive. and they weren't able to provide us with any references of anybody who was actually using it. So it was really cool. We have a test environment. We set it up, put up a couple of Linux boxes, connected our Macs to it. It worked great, but we're not going to do it for that much money if they can't let us talk to somebody who's actually using it in production. Okay, planning. SMS is only useful if you've got a domain. If you're thinking about SMS, you're probably a Windows environment, so that's Active Directory is not really an issue. You need an MS SQL server. It doesn't have to be a separate box, but useful. Just if you've got a lot of clients, it's useful. Spend a lot of time thinking about how you want to organize the collections. We've had to revamp this twice. We've been using SMS for 2 years. It's important where your clients automatically go, what advertisements you automatically get send to your clients. When you saw how many advertisements that machine screenshot had on it, 30 or 40, that gets very messy for the users to figure out what they're supposed to put on there quickly. And because machines can be in multiple collections, what we've settled on is a top-level tree of test and production with a main clients collection with sub-collection for Windows 2000 and Windows XP, and those deliver the standard load of applications, Office, VNC, Cap3s, which is a screen capture utility we have a site license for, all the products we have a campus-wide site license for, and the relevant OS updates that aren't deployed to other methods, like Media Player 10, like the fix for .NET Framework that lets WSUS send .NET Framework updates properly, like DirectX 9, like IE6 for the Windows 2K boxes. And then we have a updates tree, which is all of our software updates, things like the driver update for the D800 video so that it can do projectors without having a heart attack, like Adobe Reader 7.0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, things like that. That's a big, giant list. It gets big fast. And then we also have a software deployment tree where unusual software that people want deployed to a limited number of people, like Creative Suite, like SAS, like SPSS, et cetera, that we have specialized license for, either per machine or a limited number on the campus. And that allows us to find the machines and have a reasonable organization. Think about that and make sure that's appropriate for your environment, because revamping, that's a pain. Users get new advertisements if you're going to change it, users will re-receive the advertisements that they already received, and that will confuse them. SMS allows for automation that didn't previously exist to having an enterprise management system. Make sure you talk about that before you implement this kind of a system. Will the help desk be able to send advertisements? Will the help desk be able to use the remote control functionality to take control of machines? Is that okay with people that the help desk can come in and remotely control their machines? Talk about those kind of issues. And also talk about who's going to maintain the system. This kind of a system is a bridge between the server guys who sit in the server room all day administering the domain and the people who walk around installing software. It's a work out and talk out how that responsibility is going to land, because that can cause a lot of problems. If I'm not an administrator on the SMS server, but I'm responsible for deploying packages, it creates an issue. So I can't create packages. They're not willing to give up admin rights on a server so I can make them. We had that argument. Okay, some recommendations on implementation. How many servers do you need? We got 3,300 clients. We have 5 servers involved in SMS. Most of them are dual functionality. We have a big honkin' SQL server that is not just dedicated to SMS, but it is dedicated to SQL, so it's tweaked out for that. It also does our McAfee Enterprise Virus Scan database and a couple other smaller databases. We have 3 distribution point servers that are located in order to spread the network load around. They also have dual functionality with other file shares on them because they're primarily file sharing boxes. And then we have, and one of them is our WSUS server. And then we have a primary site server, and that's the one that it only does SMS. It doesn't do anything else. You don't really need that much disk space on them unless you go wild with packages. Our distribution servers have about 40 gigs of packages on them because we've created a lot of packages. A lot of stuff that was just easy to deploy with SMS. You create the package and you can send it out. The site server, which doesn't actually do distribution, only has half a gig of stuff on it because SMS just isn't that big. It doesn't have the database on it. SMS by itself isn't that big. Cost. SMS is cheap if you have a Microsoft Enterprise agreement. It costs us for the SMS server $200 a processor for the servers. All the clients are included in our Microsoft Enterprise agreement. So it is very hard for another product to compete with this at the price. $200, but it's $400 for our site server. Ooh, we're done. Okay. All the clients came with our standard Windows CALs that come with the Enterprise agreement. That's pretty standard. Of course, we do give Microsoft $450,000 a year for Office and Windows and all the CALs, which is, but we're going to do that no matter what. Another issue is users will need some education. A significant change in making professors understand what remote control means for them. We have full admin access on their machine already. The fact that we can remote control at their request does not make their machines any more secure, but that is still a scary thing for people sometimes when their mouse moves on its own. I mean, a lot of people freaked out on the phone when that happens. They also need to know how to find that control panel icon so they can install the advertisements. There is a notification box that comes up the first time an advertisement is sent to their machine, but it goes away after they ignore it for a while. They have to know to go find that. So there's some user education issues. And it requires enterprise-wide policy review. Things like help desk access and how the licenses will be handled. Things like SMS make it very easy to deploy something you have 10 licenses for to everybody on campus. Somebody needs to make sure that's being paid attention to. Okay, I'm going to see if I can make this machine work with the VPN. Do people have questions? There's reporting built into it. There's a whole bunch of canned reports. There's 30 or 40 canned reports that come with it, and it's using an SQL language. So if you can write SQL or find one of your friends who can, you can write a report that'll pull any of that information out into a nice, pretty format. We have to do a lot of that.
You mentioned with having the help desk. Is there a built-in mechanism to allow different access levels? So if you have a PC support group to manage PCs and maybe an assistant to manage the servers and stuff like that? Or
within,
if you can get in, do you have the keys to the SMS team?
There is methods for limiting access. They are granular by process. So you can make it so somebody can add people to a collection, but then not be able to create packages or not remote control machines. Package creation is special because it requires drive access to the server, so you do have the keys to the whole kingdom if you can create new packages or new advertisements. But you can limit it to, you can limit remote control, you can limit adding people to collections. Creating collections is another thing that once you have the ability to do that, you pretty much have the ability to do everything. But you can, so there is some, but not infinite.
So the deployment piece, does that integrate into the remote install services for where you netboot off?
Yeah, it uses RIS. I haven't done it. We use Ghost, and we've tried RIS before, and there was a lot of phone home issues after the fact with window file protection system. It kept wanting to phone home back to the server to find files, and that was bad. That server turned off, and then everybody's machine stopped working. I don't think the demo is going to be able to work. I can't seem to get a VPN connection. I did earlier, but it doesn't want a VPN to the office. I'll plug in, and you can see how I admin it. And this is always too many computers. This is the console I use in all day, every day. It's essentially an MMC snap-in. Looks a lot cooler if it has a network connection to the University of Akron, but remote computer management, there's the SMS plugin, and then Active Directory plugin. Under SMS, you have a much cooler looking tree normally, but we have an error instead. Okay, any other questions? No, I haven't. I've used Landesk, and that's the only other enterprise management product I've used.
How did it compare?
Landesk had very similar functionality, but was multi-platform, and it was more web-focused. So clients would visit websites to get packages that they were licensed for, and that made it a lot easier to be multi-platform, but it was much harder to set up. SMS is a Microsoft product, and they have a tendency to just take 15 minutes out of the box to kind of work. Might need twice as big of a server as another product, but they just kind of work out of the box. SMS is a lot like that. Landesk took about a week to get going. And Landesk requires a minimum of more servers. We're using 5 with SMS, so it's not exactly a low number of servers, but to administer Landesk, it requires a non-domain Windows server and a custom Unix box. Well, the box isn't a custom box, but it's a custom distro that you install in a box. I've also used Tivoli a long time ago, and that was a disaster. But it was never quite clear to me if that was because Tivoli was a bad product or because the Unix administrators who set up the AIX boxes didn't know what they were doing, because we had network card throughput issues, so that the server always choked. And I don't really think that was Tivoli's fault.
All right,
I have
two questions.
Sure.
First one, what are some of the gotchas that you've run into during deployment of rolling this out? And secondly, have you experimented with virtualization, running this on a virtual server?
Virtual servers didn't really get along with SMS very well. I'm a desktop end person, and our focus for SMS was getting software to machines without having to walk out there. That choked kind of badly in virtual PC. I think it had a lot more to do with the ability with the way virtual PC installed software than SMS by itself. In testing, we were trying to test on virtual PCs, and the most important thing before we were ready to roll out was, okay, this is going to replace SUS as our Windows update service. We need to make sure we can deploy all the updates, and we couldn't ever deploy all the updates to virtual PC with SMS because they didn't install. They went out to lunch. And some of the gotchas was client installation. All this enterprise management stuff is great and all, but you still got to get the client installed on a machine. And that can be a real issue because you don't want to have to walk out and touch every machine. That defeats the purpose of having a system, so you don't have to walk out and touch every machine. We use group policy to install the client on all the machines, but that is problematic. It leads to a lot of unattended reinstalls as machines get moved around to different OUs. Every time it moves out of the OU, it and back in, it installs it, or it moves to a different OU that has the client install on it, installs it. When a new version of the client comes out, you know, they released SP1, so we had to change that. We didn't want to reinstall the client on all the systems, change that for new machines, because all the new machines we wanted to install a new client on out of the box. But SMS self-upgraded the old ones, so we didn't need to reinstall it on them, and we didn't want them to everybody's machine on campus when they came in and rebooted the next time, do a 15-minute install of the client that they already had. Client installation issues were the biggest gotcha. We initially deployed it by, we're doing a rollout of 1,000 laptops to all our faculty, so it was easy. The client was installed on the laptops already. The hard part was, how do we get it on the rest of our machines? I guess that's it. No other questions? Well, thank you for coming to listen to me. And I'm giving another talk tomorrow on something a little bit more exciting. I'm doing the hacking hops. I'm a homebrew person. I've made more than 40 batches of homebrew, and I'll have a bunch of the strange tubing and equipment you use to brew beer tomorrow at noon, too. No beer, though. They wouldn't let me bring any beer. Only hotel alcohol. No, we don't, they wouldn't. No, I will have.
What if it's
free? Froggy told me no.
Not in the public area.
All right, I got some tickets up here to hand out. How many of you, is anybody here using SMS currently? No? You're about to? I'll come get your ticket then. How big of an environment?
Well, we're starting out with 70 servers, Dell servers, and probably about 100 users.
Do you have an Active Directory domain? The VMX. That is a really cool product. If you're seriously looking at a multi-platform environment, if SMS isn't dirt cheap for you, I would look at some of the other products that are multi-platform out of the box. The VMX is made by Quest Software. They just bought it out. And if you Google for VMX SMS, it will come up. And there's a free 30-day evaluation. It was easy to set up and test. A little bit harder to figure out how to deploy the packages with it to make sure you got it in the right format and got it sending the right commands. And it has an issue of not having a graphical client on any end-user machines. But in a server environment, that's not a big deal. It requires SSH. Yeah. It does a lot of its own stuff, but most of it is sent, the package distribution is sent using SSH. I mean, it's automating SCP commands and then running a shell script or just a command. And so it needs that. Go ahead. I think the one before the most current. The new SP2 of SMS 2003 requires SQL Server 2007 or whatever the current version is.
Yeah.
But I believe older versions would work with the older version of the SQL Server. It's a pretty big database, but it's not huge number of transactions a second or anything like that. SMS is a Rastafarian program in that it is batch processing. So the client delivers text files, and then those text files are all processed in mass at scheduled intervals. So it's not a lot of transactions, and they're pretty batched. Our SQL Server is not a monster. I mean, we got a 3,300 client site and a 200 server site, and they're running on the same SQL Server, and it's a 1U Dell rack mount. I think it's a 1850, so it's dual processor 1U rack mount.
Server is more like a warehouse.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you're not talking about crazy number of clients or adjusting. By default, the clients check in every hour, and they do a software inventory every 7 days and a hardware inventory every 7 days. So it's not, you know, if 100 clients, it's not very much data. I mean, it's not. 3,300 clients, it adds up relatively fast. And we've decreased the default software and hardware inventory time because we use SMS for a lot of mandatory updates for packages, and we need to run a software inventory before we retry if it failed, because they're laptops and they fail a lot. We get 30 or 40% first try with silent updates failures.
Because
most...
Because of people shutting down.
Yeah.
When you advertise that, like, an update is available on Word or whatever, outside of having to, you know, start the full panel and look at the advertisements, how is the
There's a task tray icon that shows up when a new... Yeah. Most of ours are completely silent. If it's a security update, we make it silent. It's going to silent and mandatory. And they're mostly small enough that that's not a big deal. We deploy IE6 silent and mandatory. That sometimes causes issues because it's on 2,000 machines and they're older machines and they have a tendency to be slow. But... There aren't other ways the user can easily cancel. I mean, you can go into the task manager and you can kill the process, because it is, you know, I mean, it's running a program and it shows them task manager. I mean, I've done that in testing. Oh, crap, what am I running? And go in there and you kill it and stop it.
So this is like a user-based, the client is like a user-based thing, so you can get the task manager.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and especially the installs that it spawns, because it's actually spawning a process. So you can go in and see IE6 setup. And you can go, oh, it's installing that, and you can click on it and kill the process.
If the client is a user space application that the client can build, when it actually kicks off the install, can you tell it who to run the program as?
Yeah, yeah. So you can create a domain level software distribution account that this is who it's running the software as. That's one of the options in the setup of packages. Do you want it to run it with the user's credentials or some other credentials? Okay. Turn off my microphone and give away.